Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that are centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Millers. I'm the sharp buzz cut that is Royfield Brown, and with me are the hair dragged backwards through a hedge that is
Kerry Warbis.
And joining us, we have the Yeti looking
Peter Fickling.
And the last part of your lockdown haircut, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum is a repeat from last week. In the good old traditions of the BBC, we love a repeat, we do. It's Joanne Smith and a rather large church organ. Now, Kerry, someone else would like to send us in a dum-de-dum. How can that be done?
If you would like to sing us a dum-de-dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105. Leave us a message on SpeakPipe or send a text message starting with dum to 077 862 00690. Thanks to Yokel Bear and Millie Bell, our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge for her voices, and Lucy V. Freeman for her legendariness.
On this week's episode, we hear voices from Witherspoon, voices, views even, from Witherspoon, Red Agnes, Mia, Jack, Francesca's sister Sally, she's back with her habit, Helen, Jess and Rev Rob. Ooh, everybody's down the Catholic way today. By the way, can I just thank everybody for sending in their text messages? Because boy, oh boy, you've gone text crazy, haven't they?
Yeah, lots of stuff to read out today.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to like kick back on my deck chair, sip my pina colada while you read everything out. Because blooming Nora, there's a shed load to read out. But first off, you're probably wondering, who's this Peter Fickling bloke? Peter, who are you, sir?
Well, I met Royfield in a bar in Oakland about, 3 years ago, Royfield? So it's a kind of copy and paste job. I was told there was an obnoxious Englishman in locally, and I think Royfield was told the same thing. We were both crestfallen because our egos demanded that we were the only obnoxious Englishman in the neighbourhood. But we managed to reconcile that. And actually, the Archers, I think, was part one of the oils that lubricated the creaking joints that was our early friendship.
That and weak American beer. No doubt.
Yes.
In that bar in Oakland.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a three-way today. There's three of us talking about the thing that we love, the Archers. I don't know where to start. So I'm pointing the finger at you, Warbis. last week in Ambridge. Please take it away, because off mic, you said to me, I've got some notes, Royfield. I went, bloody Nora, you got notes?
Yeah.
Show's yours. The floor is yours.
I always make notes. I struggled again this week, I have to say, which is why I listened to it for a third time again this week. I listened to it in my garden this afternoon. I don't know whether it was because it was the Bridge Farm lot or what, but loads of it drifted right over me. I found it difficult to concentrate, and not an awful lot new learnt about the characters. So there.
Peter, sir, how was your last week in Ambridge?
Well, I seem to be the only person who's enjoyed it. I watched with some horror as Kerry kind of trashed every last second of it live on Twitter. Well, for the first time ever, I quite enjoyed hearing Helen's voice. The week before, I enjoyed hearing a little bit more about Josh. It's me and the writers seem to be the only people enjoying it.
Can you explain your enjoyment, though, please?
Well, it's interesting that you say that we didn't learn anything about them. But I think sort of textually, if that's not too pretentious a word, that was sort of like they're being softened. One of the problems with Helen is that you just want other people to be screaming at her the whole time. Like every time she opens her mouth, why isn't someone telling her to shut up? Why isn't someone correcting her pretentiousness or just taking her to task? And the reverse with Josh. With Josh, you're constantly reminded of his place in the village because other people are telling him off, are taking him to task. And so actually, with them just talking on their own, you can just listen to their stories and maybe be a little less distracted by one's own anger and the lack of anger from other people.
Did you not find she was quite cross to start off with, wasn't she? With herself mainly. In a similar way to David being cross and Tony being cross. There was a lot of crossness going on.
Yeah, but does that not fall under the whole kind of, BBC charter sort of section that they've got to kind of be representing our sort of general decline in mental health?
Pre-COVID.
I mean, Helen's always a sort of hot mess of implausibility. That's part of the problem with the character, is that, you know, it's just so hard. This is not a criticism of the actress, obviously, because, you know, she does the best with what she's given. But and also, I don't want to criticise the writers in general, but specific to Helen, like it's a bit discordant. So, for instance, when Lillian comes in, you expect a bit of pantomime and kind of a bit of high drama, which is why I found the kind of more serious plot lines with her and Justin a bit sort of difficult to deal with. But with Helen, it's always jarring. It never seems natural. And at least when she's isolated, as she should be, from everyone else, you can just listen to it as given, as delivered.
I think jarring is spot on there, Peter. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Helen fan. I mean, I know that doesn't make me a unique creature, but maybe I was quite. And also, I'm trying to be positive about it because I've seen other Kerry given a right old kicking on social media, and that kind of got my back up a bit. Because one, I feel that's my job, but two, sort of the lack of imagination and the sort of ingratitude people have had towards the Archers team as it's been put out has kind of.
Can I just say this very, very quickly? There's been a lot of Kerry confusion, hasn't there? You know, people mean Davis or do people mean Warbis? Just saying. So just queuing things up for later, dear listener.
Yes.
As you were, you pair, because I'm enjoying this. So one thing I would say, though, Peter, I don't think anybody actually is a fan of Helen, per se.
There must be someone.
I think there are people sympathetic to her because of the Rob stuff. That's about as generous as it gets.
Yeah. It's a tricky topic. Obviously, it's representing a very serious topic, so I didn't want anything particularly dark or unpleasant to play out. But I did, by the end, I did just want the cliched Rob to take their lives and then his own, because it would have just saved me the hassle. So from a completely selfish point of view, I just wanted the plot to sort of like hurry to the end. But, you know, that's not me showing a very caring side. But it's not just Helen. It's basically all of the spawn of Pat. Pat, for me, is the kind of the mothership of all this. So spawn of Pat in general. And, you know, and one of my frequent begging letters that I send to other Kerry is for Otto the Bull to make a vengeful comeback and just finish the job I feel he should have, you know, he didn't. didn't complete.
Oh, great. I think we're going to get along, Peter.
Well, I hope so. It would be, you know, it would put you in a very exclusive group.
Well, listen, you pair, this is all wonderful. And I must admit, I do feel like I'm listening to a podcast here on my own podcast, which is a rather unique position to be in. But I'm loving this. But I'm just going to just call time and do a little bit of this.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First off, it's our Red Agnes.
Hi, Dumpty Gang. Red Agnes here. It's been a weird week this week. Mr. Red Agnes is under threat of COVID redundancy, which is an absolute arse. So he's doubled that up by just setting fire to his finger with the iron. We've just done each other a COVID haircut. That's why. Well, I was on the Zoom the other day, I had a hat on because I was having a bad hair day. But we've done three lockdown haircuts now. Very, very successful, I have to say. So, what do I need to tell you this week? Sorry, by the way, on Zoom that I'd eaten shit all week, so I felt it appropriate to eat a whole bag of green leaves. So if you wondered what I was eating, it was green leaves, but I'm all right now. I feel healthy now. In terms of the COVID archers, I've got two views. I'm 100% behind the BBC for doing it, less so about listening to it, but then again, that's what we do, isn't it? If you download the omnibus and listen to it on headphones as instructed and ride up a hill on your bike, then your buttocks don't clutch together as much and it's slightly less unpleasant. In terms of the archers, I'm a frustrated Liverpool fan at the moment, and Dumpty Dummers should opt for You'll Never Walk Alone. Let's support it. We'll soon be out of this and we still love it anyway. COVID Binge has been the all five series of The Corrupted on BBC Sounds. It's brilliant and probably more of a documentary than fiction. It's scary. Listen to it. See you all soon. Look after yourselves. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Red Agnes. So are you in the buttock clenching department here, Peter? Is that what you've done all from Monday through to Thursday listening to The Archers?
No, my buttocks have been very relaxed all week, specifically and generally. Without wanting to repeat myself too much, my general discomfort has been just the general annoyance at people, unlike Reg Agnes, who have been, you know, the ingratitude. That's been quite irritating. It seems to calm down a little bit. But no, I mean, I've been very relaxed about it and quite surprised as well, because it's not my normal state, as you know. And one of the things that slightly terrified me kind of getting ready to come and chat to you guys was, obviously watching Kerry on Twitter and then obviously knowing you, Royfield, realising I might be the reasonable one. That might be my position in this kind of triangular conversation. So, yeah, very strange.
You haven't been entirely reasonable, so that's promising.
But not.
You are supposed to be the curmudgeon. That's the reason why I gave you, a call on the bat phone.
Okay. I can adjust. Whatever.
Kerry,
yeah.
Was there anything else in Red Agnes's call that you feel that we need to address?
Before I move on to that, I just want to say there's a fine line between ingratitude and bewilderment. So I'll just leave that there. She did the thing of the omnibus, the headphones and solitude up a hill on a bicycle, and it helped. So, you know, I wonder how many other people have done a similar thing.
Red Agnes, thank you. Now we can come on to Jack.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. I'm Jack, and I am a first-timer caller-inner, and I think that Dumpty Dum is a truly fantastic podcast. Now, I know that we're in a pandemic, and I don't want to sound ungrateful. And I also don't want to make Jeremy Howell and all the people working on The Archers ill. But if remote drama recording with dialogue was not possible, then I would be happy with The Archers. But the fact that remote drama recording with dialogue is possible, I'm not so happy with The Archers, and I feel that it definitely should have been done. It is possible, and I was very much looking forward to hearing what it would sound like remotely with dialogue. The other things I would like to say is that Dead Ringers have managed to do it, and so has Shambridge, Harriet Carmichael, with all her different voices. What I also wanted to come on to, talking of Shambridge, I'm on an email list for visually impaired people, and I've mentioned Shambridge, and it has gone down a huge pit. They're all downloading it. They think it's fantastic. So hopefully we'll hear Harriet's impressions more of them soon, and hopefully we'll hear Harriet Carmichael on the podcast very soon too. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for that, Jack. Jack, you do actually hear Harriet twice on the podcast. She does Susan at the very start of the show. Then she does Linda picking up the phone. So she is on. But she hasn't been on for a little while. So in that respect, you are correct, sir. Just very quickly, now Witherspoon is going to make the same point later on. But this is, as I understand it, and I thought I explained this last week, but obviously didn't do a very good job. And this is my guess as the reason why they are struggling at the moment to cut this thing together. Number one, it's all new. And the production process for 70 years has not been set up for remote speaking and for actors not to be in the studio. Now, with the best will in the world, whether people can actually be remotely and then talk, we do know it takes four times longer just with the monologues. So if people are going to be talking backwards and forwards, you can guess that it's going to take exponentially longer again because of the different variables. Noise is off because they don't have soundproof recording studios. Then the editing process is going to be more tricky because you have two sets of audio from two different locations, which then you have to sync. I know this because this is the way that I do Dum-de-dum. Now, can it be done? Absolutely. But can they do four episodes a week? Probably not. I think that's what everyone's missing in all of this, is it's the speed of which they can actually crank this stuff out. Now, as the production goes on and the COVIDs continue, they will probably streamline the production flow behind the scenes so that they can actually work more efficiently. But I think people are missing the point here that, yes, there is technology can do it, and we do it, but we don't follow a script for a start off. So to say, as Witherspoon is going to say in his call later on, that, well, Dum-de-dum does it, we're not following a script. We're not. And when people hear noises off here, it's part of the whole comedy fun of the ramshackle nature that is Dum-de-dum. When people hear, when my mum walks in, I don't stop the recording, or when somebody can hear a grass cutter outside, etc. So we're not really comparing apples to apples at all here. As I understand it, it is how quickly can they cut the thing together. And let's not forget that we've gone from six episodes down to four. I'm guessing that a weekly radio play drama, whatever, I forget the example that Jack used on Radio 4, they're only putting out one of those a week. So you've still got 7 days to edit the thing. That's the problem, which I think everyone's missing here. I could be wildly wrong. Somebody from the production team at The Archers, you know, email me and say, Royfield, you're wildly wrong. We're all just sat around eating donuts and just like messing around. And that is not at all the reason. We could, you know, if we whipped harder, we could actually work faster. But I think that is the reason which everyone seems to be missing. What do you reckon, Kerry? Have I made a good defence for the production team at The Archers?
I'd written down here, so dead ringers can do it, but maybe not four times a week.
Exactly.
Which is what you said. You know, they're not purposefully trying to piss off the audience, eating donuts and messing about.
I'm sure you meant to say the word frustrate.
Oh, I did.
Right. Peter, I'm queuing you up for responses to the next call, which is Mia.
Hi, Royfield and Claire and all Dum-de-dum peeps worldwide. This is Mia up in Newcastle land saying hello. First of all, I just want to say how grateful I am for Lucy and her time with Dum-de-dum. She's just been brilliant and the podcast was richer for her, and just wish her well. And I was really delighted to meet her at the end of February at the Academic Archers. She's a great person. But Royfield, you're fantastic and I'm loving what you're doing, especially with the Zoom. Thank you. Now, I've just got to say, a whole fucking week at Bridge Farm. What were they thinking of? I am bored, titless, and I don't want to hear any more about bloody Tony and his stupid shaggy head and bald head and, oh my God, how boring could it possibly be? And Johnny wasn't much better, and Tom, oh my God, he makes Roy look exciting. I just don't know how I coped. I was pleased to hear a little bit of Helen and her struggles, and it just reminds us that it's a daily effort for her. And it was interesting to have a little insight into Natasha, who I think is a good, rich character, and I'd like to see a bit more of her. But I'd like to see her outside the Bridge Farm context. Oh my gosh, scriptwriters, please don't inflict that virus on us again of a week at Bridge Farm. Gosh, it made David and his lasagna look exciting. Anyway, that's all. Take care. Love to all. Bye.
Mm. Right, Fickling, over to you, sir. You have a right to reply.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to be reasonable again. That was very harsh. Even by my standards, it's really quite difficult for me to fit into this new persona, even if it's not what's required, being a sort of a gentle and sort of a soulful human being. Johnny was very moving. I was terrified that was going to be a plot about him being a kind of early male suicide. I think I was over the moon to hear him sort of shave his hair off and sort of, you know, feel a bit uplifted. And, you know, I can't stand Bridge Farm. And a whole week would terrify me when I heard at the beginning, you know, on Monday. And when I heard Helen on Monday, I was like, I definitely can't do 7 days of this. But so yes, here I am again, being reasonable, and I apologise for it.
One of the things that I'm really struggling with is we fundamentally know the psyche and the personality drivers of the main characters. So you could arguably say we're not learning anything new for the vast majority of these characters.
Yeah.
So David and Josh, we know there's beef. We know there's uncomfortableness, whatever you want to call it. We know this. However, there was a little bit of a nugget within specifically that interaction in the first week where we learned that how Josh got his name. So so we are learning little things.
Yeah.
But we're not learning anything too much. For Helen to say the only person that's criticizing her is herself was like, well, you know, that was stating the blindingly obvious. And as us as listeners, I don't think we're enriched by it. We didn't learn anything from that per se, other than, okay, maybe she's got a little bit of self-awareness. Maybe. Discuss.
Yeah, I agree with the Johnny situation as well. That was, you know, it was a relief to hear that he had shaved his hair off and he's moved on and he's not as distressed about that situation any longer. With the Helen thing, I was also thinking as you were speaking about, you know, I did say we didn't learn very much that was new about anybody during this past week. But, and then I was thinking, well, actually, you know, do we need to be learning new things all the time about all the characters? You know, does that actually happen in life? Probably not. But I think what I was thinking was that if people are being introspective and that it might reveal new things about how their minds work and their perspectives on things, and that doesn't seem to be coming through a great deal. I didn't say it was totally devoid of anything new. I'm trying to be generous. It's hurting.
Right then, Warbis. Brace yourself, Fickling. It's Francesca. I believe she's from Cardiff.
Hello, it's Francesca here from Cardiff. So I've been thinking about what methods of monologue they could use, and I thought it would be really cool to do an episode where one of the families have a pub quiz, because we've been doing that quite a lot with my friends. And I was just trying to think of the pros and cons of each family, of who we could have, and clearly we do not want the Brookfield lot. I think that would be pretty boring. Also the Bridge Farm lot. Can't think of anything more dull than listening to them come up with questions. So I thought maybe the Grundys, that would be quite cool, but then Will and Ed would probably be quite boring with their rounds. So then I thought, oh, what about the Aldridges? I think that would probably be quite a fun pub quiz if each of them did a round each. That would be quite fun. I can imagine Kate with her with her choice of rounds, something new age and fun and hippie veganism, and then that sort of juxtaposed with Brian's expertise. Maybe Adam's round could be quite boring, but yeah, it'd be quite fun to have the Aldridges doing a Zoom chat, and then audio quality wouldn't matter because obviously they're all in different places. Yeah, hopefully that's an idea for Kerry. Zoom. Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
Ooh, what do you reckon, Kerry? The Zoom comes to Ambridge. Or the Aldridges specifically.
Well, yeah, that pleases me greatly. I do love the Aldridges. They're very entertaining. The pub quiz idea, at first I was balking because we had a pub quiz, didn't we, not that long ago. And I didn't enjoy that at all.
We actually had a quiz in a pub.
We did, yes. But this idea could work with each of them having their specialised rounds to ask the rest of the family, but they're not allowed. Well, they're not able to actually speak with each other. So I'm not sure how that would work with the current restrictions.
I suppose what you could do is, you know, audio quality be damned then. Because if you were actually just going to do a Zoom chat and have it scripted and then just record the Zoom chat.
Yeah.
And then however it kind of, you know, people talking over each other as they're doing Zoom on Zoom, etc. And it sounding a bit mechanical.
Well, that could just be authentic.
Yeah. Not at all a bad idea, Francesca. Mm. Let's see if Uncle Kerry, the other Kerry, picks up on your wonderful idea. Maybe get some royalties or something other from that. Little bit of shilling, you know. Hey, anyway, good luck with that, Francesca. Now it's Sister Sally. She's back. She's out of the nunnery. Still got a habit on. It's Sister Sally. It's a missive from our Sally, who's our sister. Ooh, I don't know where I'm going with this. I best press the button.
Hello, Royfield, Kerry, and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Sister Sally here. I am now, I think, a third time caller innerer. I'm really ashamed to say that my dishwasher does not have a name. And while I have been drinking, I don't think I've had as much as that lady the other day, who was absolutely brilliant, and I loved her, call her in. Incidentally, I have been to Hull once for a university interview, and that is the only time I've been to Hull, and that would have been in either 1992 or 93. I was very disappointed, actually, in the last couple of weeks. I share my birthday with Linda Snell. And over the years, I've enjoyed knowing what Linda has done for her birthday, the end of May, and had a little smile to myself as we might be sort of raising a glass to each other. But of course, the COVID has destroyed my annual birthday get together with Linda, and I'm a bit sad about it. I wanted to talk about Tony and his voice. I always wonder why Tony isn't as posh as his two sisters. So we've got Jennifer, very posh, and got the name, and posh gin person. I can't believe it's gone blank.
Lillian.
And but Tony isn't. Lillian. I can't believe that was just a complete blank. Anyway, Tony, don't you think he sounds a bit like the BFG, the Mark Rylance film version of the BFG by Roald Dahl? In fact, the BFG, I think the voice that Mark Rylance used was a cross between Tony and Joe Grundy. How I think about that? Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Mm. Thank you for that, Sister Sally. The voice of Tony and his other siblings. Well, I think this is my two penneth worth, is that Lillian and Jennifer both married money, didn't they? So, and specifically Jennifer is a social climber. So at one point she probably affected the poshness and then it just stuck. That's my simple take on it. What do you reckon, Kerry?
Yeah, I love Sister Sally. she said hello to me. That was nice. And laughed about the dishwasher name. That was good too. And she's only been to Hull once, Royfield. What is this thing about going to Hull once for a university interview? Is that the only reason anyone ever goes there?
I suppose Peter is now going to turn around and say that
he lived 30 years or something.
Yeah, exactly. Peter, have you ever been to Hull?
I've never been to Hull, and that's it. I mean, I could come up with some kind of awful kind of full Yorkshireman style. Is it even in Yorkshire? This is how little I know. I mean, I went to university up north, so I should know more. But anyway, sorry, no Hull knowledge.
No. You let the side down. Anybody who's anybody has only ever been to Hull once. That's what Kerry and I discovered last week. So
well, I think we that and I think I stay true to that.
True that. Where do you stand on the accent thing? Sorry, did we actually finish this with you, Kerry, or did I just like come in and just like nobble your well-meaning thoughts?
No, it's fine. I mentioned Hull and you got all excited. The accent thing is interesting. I mean, there's a whole swathe of different accents from the same families all the time, isn't there? It is interesting. And I think your theory is probably right about the social climbing aspect.
The only other thing is that, you know, to be painfully obvious, is that, you know, they're three different actors and they've got their own voices. But that's all I came up with. And then you started saying clever stuff. So, yeah.
So they weren't actually brought up by the same people?
These actors? No. I'm new to it. But I'm pretty. But Kerry, you and I were talking off air about doesn't the new Tony have a slightly more working class accent? And actually, from memory, even though it's been a long time, the old Tony was a bit more kind of brusque, but maybe a touch posher.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and while we're on the subject of Tony, also we were speaking off mic, Peter and I, about Pat making Tony wear a baseball cap and how controlling she is about what he wears. And I don't like that.
Yeah, and it's quite odd. It's quite odd that anyone would be that controlling. And I was very interested because I just let the Archers wash over me. It's something to do the, you know, when I'm doing the dishes or kind of out for a stroll with my kid. And actually, talking to Kerry earlier, it was a kind of revelation. It was like having the wool ripped from my eyes. It's like, oh my God, she's an absolute monster. All these kind of flashbacks were coming from the past. And I was thinking about the very strange way she talks to her children and how big or small decisions, each one of them requires a comment or some kind of corrective from her. Mm. And so thank you, Kerry. I knew I was right to dislike her as much as I do.
I'm happy to oblige.
Right. On that little part of concordat between the pair of you, I'm going to stop things and say, let's listen to Helen.
Hello, Royfield, Kerry, and everybody else in Dumpty Dum Land. My name is Helen. I'm a first-time caller in a row, so I'm going to try and whiz through all the formalities really quickly. So I have been exposed to the Archers since I was born, making me a Pip Archer because we're the same age. I was actually compared to Pip a lot growing up by my lovely late grandmother, which is probably one of the reasons that I was then put off listening to the Archers. But I fell in love with it for myself a few years ago during the Robin Helen storyline when I was living out in Kenya. I was feeling a little bit homesick and struggling with a few mental health issues, and it was really a connection to home, and I absolutely fell in love with it. So I'm now back in the UK, living in sunny Rotherham, currently on maternity leave, but working as a teaching assistant in a special needs school. And I love the Archers so much so that my little boy was born on Christmas Day. And during labour, high on gas and air, I was more concerned about how Lee was getting on at Bridge Farm than I was about the impending motherhood that I was facing. So you could say that I love it a little bit. It took me a little while to get into this new format. But I really enjoyed listening to Helen and Natasha's insights into their mental health this week. But my question is this. Does everybody have an internal monologue like that in English or your mother tongue, whatever your first language is? Because I don't. I I think in thoughts. And I've argued this with my dad, who thinks that I'm a little bit nutty, because he says that he thinks in internal monologue. So for me, it sounded so unrealistic to hear people thinking that way until my dad said, well, that's exactly how I think, because I don't think that way. I think in thoughts. How do other people think? Discuss. Bye. Ooh,
thanks for that, Helen. And well done being a first-time caller in a row. And I believe you went through all the gears perfectly. Now, firstly, before we come into the meat and potatoes of her call, Miss Warbis and Mr. Pickling, have you, Kerry, ever done something, you know, not necessarily life-threatening, but like as important as giving birth, but the more important thing on your mind was actually the Archers?
Have I done anything life-threatening? No, I try to avoid that if I can. So giving birth, I was quite relaxed when I gave birth the two times that I did that. I had no drugs other than gas and air. I was quite hardcore. I did go to hospital. I didn't want to do that at home. But I can't say that I was thinking about the Archers more at those two moments of birth giving.
Have you ever done anything, you know, pretty important, but it was inappropriate for you to be thinking of what David was going to have for his dinner or what was going on down the ball? No. Have you had an inappropriate thought that way, though?
What, drifted off wondering about the Archers during meetings at work, for sure. But not life-threatening things.
All right. What about you?
Have you, Royfield?
Me? Oh. Frequently. That's the reason why I started doing Dumpty Dum. So I could just be open with my internal monologue, which is me continuously thinking about all things Borsetshire. So that does then neatly bring me on to part two of what Helen said. I didn't think that anybody who was sane actually thought out in speech form. If you need to psych yourself up, you're about to do public speaking or go into a situation which you're uncomfortable with, you might say, come on, you've got this, you know. And you'll think out loud in that way, or internally. But I don't think out in long form thoughts. Do you?
No, I don't think. Well, there's the internal monologue that we all might be having or not. And then there's, you know, what's happening on the Archers is totally removed from that, I think, isn't it? Really? Do we have an internal monologue running all the time? I don't think I do. No, it comes in bursts and waves, I think.
Yeah. Peter, how about you, sir?
So first things first, I have to say this because I just it's like a trigger word. I heard the word Lee. Lee causes me an enormous amount of angst, and he's definitely my least favourite character in the whole show. He's the most oleaginous, unctuous, falsely nice creature I've ever heard.
You like Gavin Moss more than Lee?
Gavin Moss is a kind of like a high point in plausibility in modern English fiction compared to Lee. Lee is a coronavirus of pointy, unrealistic caricature. He's awful. But anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest because, you know, I was happily listening to the caller, and then all of a sudden I just went into this kind of spasm of anger just hearing his name. And in fact, that was the only high point of the whole Bridge Farm Week, was the fact that he only got mentioned a couple of times. But anyway, that's by the by. But while I was listening to you guys, I was thinking about the fact that, no, I don't think I do think in kind of monologue, except for when you sort of you role play those conversations you wish you'd had with someone else, or you're planning to go and talk to someone. And then you might sort of think, oh, how the conversation had gone or how the conversation might go. And then, yeah, I think I do have those kind of back and forths in my head where I play everything out in real time speech. But it's very specific to that. So I think you could write it. If you could write me as a character and make it sound plausible if you wanted, but I don't particularly like it as a kind of narrative device for the show, I will admit. It does feel a bit clunky, but equally, no more so than sitting in an incredibly crowded Victorian theatre watching people only 20 feet away, sort of fully Kenneth Branagh, you know. It's the same, what's it called when you're in the theatre where you have to kind of...
Declaiming.
Grant... big thank you. When you have to sort of allow someone that license, the fact that they're on stage, no, I don't find that difficult.
I do. I don't like
have
that.
Have you ever typed an email and read out loud every word that you're typing?
I frequently.
But do you not agree with my? Is it me and the Archers writers that, you know, when you're thinking about a conversation you had the day before and you're sort of rethinking how it might have gone, or planning a conversation?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally. That's an excellent point. Well made, sir. That, yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, thank you.
Someone's got the better of you in an argument, or you've let yourself down, and then when you're licking your wounds, you go, oh God, I should have said this and I should have done that and blah, blah, blah. Or the next time this point comes up, this is what I'm going to say. And you do spell that out, but that's not an everyday occurrence that lasts for 12 minutes, though, is it? You know,
they did a bit of that with Helen, actually, I think, this week. And I think the actress kind of lent into that and did a good job with it when she was kind of telling herself off. And that kind of gave that some plausibility. That's definitely, you know, like, I mean, I'll take my own name in vain out loud a few times a day. So, yeah, I think that she did a good job with that, sort of like making it, sort of leaning into that kind of reliving of the moment.
You know, and for me, this is the great thing about these monologues, because they've so divided opinion, because I didn't think that Helen talking worked for the reasons which I gave before, because actually she told us nothing new, and for her to say I'm my own worst critical, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, was just for me a line which is so redundant, because she'd actually said all of that without actually saying that line. So, you know, and you made the point earlier on, Peter, that, you know, she's a great actor, so it's nothing against the actor, but I just think there is something which is misfiring between the writing, the direction and the acting in this format, because so many different people are taking so many different things from it. This is an uncomfortable experience for us all actually to listen to, not only just because there's 69 years worth of a dramatic construct which we're all used to. It flows in a certain way. It isn't just that it's characters talking amongst themselves. There's an Archer's way which is delivered, which we're all used to, and it's comfortable, and it is like a lovely, snuggly old blanket. And this just isn't that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good.
Sorry, Royfield. Yeah. Is it any worse, though, than kind of the massive character changes that we have to put up with? So, you know, when Lillian and Justin went on their big kind of, you know, epic narrative arc, was it about half a year ago? I can't remember. I found that whole thing very difficult, because two of my most beloved characters were now acting very out of type as I saw it. And that for me was a bigger jump than having to sort of, because that's the characters changing. Whereas with this, I can kind of view it as a change of listening points. Like, you know, it's the perspective is changing rather than the characters.
I think what the writers would say is that when characters are confronted by anything big, there is always a breadcrumb trail of to how they would react beforehand. I think the people in the writers' room would say that there aren't any reversals of character. But that's not to say that us as human beings, we always act in a uniform way. That just because generally somebody might be quite chill doesn't mean that something can't actually rile them up and actually they lose a temper every now and then. Somebody says, oh, they're acting against character. It's part of their character. But one of the joys of being an Ambridgeologist is that, you look at the tea leaves, don't you? And you read in between the lines. So hence, and I'm not just bigging myself up, but I'm bigging myself up, the Philip Moss thing, there were the breadcrumb trail. No. It's just that most people missed it. That's all. But with every situation, there is a breadcrumb trail of sorts, which the writers are deliberately dropping little clues for us. But sometimes they really do, just like a cat, you know, after it's done a poop, you know, then like shove the dirt back over it so you can't quite see it. So they're trying, and it's all incredibly understated. So I refute that there are true character reversals. I think that's all kind of part of humanity. But in terms of the cryptic clues of understanding what's going to happen in the Archers, the clues are there. It's just that they're cryptic.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to be self-indulgent. I mean, you were, and I'm piggybacking it. It really irritated me when you worked that out.
The money.
About all that. But yes, anyway, sorry. But yeah, I do understand that the characters can evolve, but sort of trying to draw it back to the... if we're asked to play catch, I mean, because we're only getting this tiny sort of, as you said, like, there's breadcrumbs. We're getting a tiny slither of a perspective on this whole kind of rich amigo system. So there's always going to be a bunch of stuff that's kind of away from the microphone. But and so you have to accept that, you know, these characters have depths that you might not be aware of. But is it really a bigger request for the audience to accept some of those changes than it is to accept the different perspective of seeing them, like they're in a monologue or hearing them on a phone call or hearing? I mean, like Susan, another character I have problems with. I really enjoyed her radio show, and I did think that we learned a bit about her. And that one episode where she was, I think it was about a week and a half ago, when she started off and she was a bundle of nerves and she was so upset about how she'd let Neil down and how she'd let her family down. And by the end of it, the Susan we love and know was back and sort of bombastic and kind of like chest puffed out, ample, well fondled chest puffed out. You know, and it was something I hadn't, at the beginning of the episode, there was no way I would have expected to be back on side and liking Susan. I was, you know, really ready to turn the radio off at the beginning of that. And I think that's something they've done quite well. Little mini character arcs within each episode.
Mm. I don't know. Why don't you have the last word on this, Kerry, before we come on to Jess?
Yeah, I mean, I agree about the Susan thing because I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. She wouldn't have got on the radio in that way so quickly, blah, blah, blah. But she was very easy to listen to and it was a lighter touch, whereas the other people, you know, the Davids, the Helens, the Toms, it's all more heavy going. Really. So I did enjoy the Susan bit, and I also quite enjoyed Natasha this week because I felt she just came across a lot more naturally.
I completely agree there, and I think that is the one character where we definitely did learn something. The relationship with mm-hmm. her father's mental health issues, how that affected her growing up, and the fact that she's always striving to please her father because as a child, she didn't even want him to be her father. That, to me, was bordering on a Radio 4 afternoon play.
Yeah, I was really genuinely interested in that. Yeah. And you know, the fact that, you know, she's stuck at home, she's in her pyjamas, she hasn't bothered to get dressed, the four walls are closing in on her whilst Tom's gallivanting around. And it's not really being picked up on by him, that kind of thing, that was actually interesting and had a bit of depth to it, I thought.
No, and I think it actually spoke to me personally. I mean, you know, we're all going through the coronavirus, and that I mean, in terms of the public broadcasting aspect, that it did that very well. I did think that represented how I feel sometimes at the moment. You know, we're, you know, trying to be a good husband and occasionally failing, and it's, yeah, and I think that I did feel quite moved by it.
Crumbs. So we've all come to an agreement.
Woohoo!
We best move on to Jess very quickly.
Hi, Royfield, Kerry, or whoever is the second presenter for Dumpty Dum this week. My name is Jess. I'm a first-time caller-innerer. I live in Columbus, Ohio. I am a microbiologist that specializes in food safety. I started listening to The Archers about 10 years ago, so I am assuming that makes me a Jude. And I think that's all of the introductory prerequisites checked off. Mm-hmm. I am taking Royfield up on his challenge to be a first-time caller-innerer, even though I've lurked and sent an email once before. And while I've come to terms with the new format of The Archers, I have a growing disdain for Natasha. I can see that they are trying to make her a more complex character with her father's bipolar. But I don't care. I don't find her sympathetic. They didn't put in the work to make her likable, as judged by the fact that we've always just made fun of her shopping habits. So as the meme says, change my mind. I hope you're all doing well. Bye.
Ooh. You just went the other side of your 2 minute allotment. But well done. First time caller in a row. I must admit, I'm always fascinated when we have non-Brits who are big fans of the Archers. You know, what exactly is their story, Kerry? You know, why? Yeah. Why? She's in the middle of Ohio, for heaven's sake. She, a thousand and other things she could be doing. She could be shoveling snow, you know, watching the great Cleveland Browns play, and whatever things people do in Ohio. But, you know, she's a fan of the Archers. Peculiar, yeah. Peculiar. Why don't you comment on the meat and potatoes of her call? I'll kick back and then I'll point the finger at Peter and say, oi, answer that then.
Well, yes, she feels that the work wasn't put in beforehand for us to then, you know, take on board Natasha as a more complex character. You can't just suddenly throw in that her father's got bipolar or... So she was completely the opposite to what we were just talking about, which was that I quite enjoyed that being revealed about Natasha. And yes, we did used to just laugh about her shopping habits and racking up the credit cards and stuff. But now we're maybe getting a bit more of a context as to why that sort of thing has been going on. So the work kind of has been put in beforehand?
I think the work has completely been put in beforehand. She came out of nowhere, met Tom, and then got married within two twos and then disappeared. We still don't really properly understand her, do we? So I think they have been laying the ground for us to, you know, fill in the gap, so to speak. But Peter, this isn't for me to talk and to pontificate about no Kasha. What do you reckon?
I think it all makes sense. Finally, we understand why she's with Tom. She spent her whole childhood with inconsistent and slightly awkward men, and she's married one. I mean, I think that, like, to your point, Boyfield, I think there was a certain amount of character development. You know, she was one dimensional, but then it did that. You know, her birds did come home to roost. She had to confront Tom. They had the house that went missing. Yes, definitely one dimensional. I think there was a slow trend, there was a slow transformation from the one dimensional character to the more rounded one. And then the other thing is, that's been all the Archer's characters. I mean, I know I gave Lee a hard time earlier on, but he's in that phase at the moment, the bit where he's just this kind of cheesy, kind of like Labrador creature bundling around, but no doubt in a half year's time we'll be complaining because they've given him some slightly more complicated narrative arc. I think it's just part of the maturation of any Archer's character. They eventually have sort of a slightly more complicated plot to deal with.
I think you could well be right. Because you can't come on with a whole load of backstory by definition, can you? You know?
Yeah.
So there you go. Jess, I think we respectfully disagree. But your right reply is to call in next week, because I want to hear, Jess, why and how you became a fan of the Archers.
How does an Ohioan microbiologist come to the Archers?
Exactly.
And is that why Roy Field's in California half the year, like some kind of, you know, missionary going door to door, knocking, you know, beseeching.
Spreading the good book of Borsetshire, yeah, so to speak. You've got me back.
And herbal lays as drought measures.
Well done, sir. Another new caller in a row. We're festooned with the buggers. But we don't swear anymore. We're festooned with these people.
Someone swore earlier, much worse than I swore.
I know, they did. They did.
Lovely it was.
Mia went for it.
And she did.
She's a lady of the cloth as well. She should know better. Anyway, it's Rev Rob is a new caller in a row. It's your time, sir.
Hi there, Roy Field, whoever's standing in for Lucy and everybody else in Dumpty Dum Land. My name's Rob. I'm Rev Rob UK on the Twitters and elsewhere. Can't remember where, actually. My vintage, I am, I guess, a Pip Archer. I started listening to the Archers Omnibus on a Sunday. I'd just moved into a new house. There was a coal fire, and I wanted something to do while I was going through clearing out the grate, and listening to the Archers fitted the bill. But after the first week, We flew to Barcelona for a holiday, came back, and I'd missed that omnibus. And that was the one that Pitt was born in. And I remember all the kerfuffle about the sound effects. So I missed that, but I guess that makes me a bad Pitt Archer. Anyway, you did say in the last Dumpty Dump, what gave Dave the push to ring in after 2 years? Well, I can't speak for Dave, but for myself, the reason I'm ringing in after listening for a few years is because you outed me, Royfield. I was in the Zoom meeting for Hedley Nicklaus, and little did I know when I was speaking there that I'd be recorded and played back for the whole world to listen to. Hey-ho. I do remember once you put in an advert on the socials for some more phone-ins, please, because we're short of them. And I said something along the lines of, I can't because of my voice. In my head, I sound like P.G. Woodhouse, but when I speak, I sound like John Lennon. So anyway, too late for that now. I hope everything goes well. I hope wish Lucy well for the future. And that's about it, really. Bye.
Bye-bye, mate. And thank you for calling in. And as I seem to remember, that was an awesome question to our Hedley, who plays Kathy Perks on the Zooms. And just whilst we're on the Zooms, did you have a nice time last Friday on Zoom, Kerry?
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Anya, who plays Lexi, was wonderful.
She was proper awesome. There's been lovely feedback. I've had a couple of little messages and DMs basically about that, and she was sticking it there, wasn't she, for like female actors and and for the you know, the newly middle-aged female actor, shall we say, you know, do they, you know, do they have to be invisible, can they still get good roles, what is the definition of beauty. She really went for it. It was also very honest about the precariousness of the profession that she's in, and the fact that, you know, she's thought of, you know, jacking it all in, you know, like, what is the point of this, you know, type of thing. She was very good and very honest. And as soon as it finished, she messaged me and she said, oh, God, that was lovely. Thank you. You know, she really did have fun.
Excellent. Yeah. People should go watch it on YouTube. It's really, really good.
Mm. I think you guys know more about this stuff than me, but is that a character that's been Nigeled? Lexi, or
no,
is she still
no she talked about that kind of at the start of the show, actually, and she said when they're in effect killing you off, there is no coming back, you kind of get told, but her and her agent have been told that, you know, be on standby. You know, the chapter is not, sort of the book is not completely closed, basically, on Lexi. But it could be that she doesn't hear anything for 6 months or 6 years, you know.
Yeah, that would make me very happy. If she came back, not if she went away for 6 years.
You pulled that back very quickly.
Only to the right place. I know that you have a lot of problems with Mr. Tucker, despite sharing a name. I'm a big fan of both Roy and Lexi, so I would really like, I mean, I was crushed when that all fell to pieces.
All right. Just very, very quickly. Right. If you're a big fan of the pair of them, you need to get yourself on Zoom this Friday, because last week was obviously Anya, who plays Lexi. This Friday at 7 o'clock on the YouTubes, on the Zooms, we only have Ian Pepperell, who plays Roy Tucker, my namesake. So it's going to be somewhat of an uncomfortable start to our chat, considering that I completely, for the last 2-3 months, have said, what is the point of the character of Roy Tucker? Though I've never said that the actor that plays him doesn't know how to emote and how to portray the lines he's given. So, phew, you know, there is a difference between the two. But he's coming on to Zoom, everybody, so you know the drill. If you want to join us at 7 o'clock on Friday, what you do is you go onto our Facebook group. I will post the details there. You go on to Twitter and you can DM Dumpty Dum, and I will give you the details for that. If you are a fan of the Archers academic, or the academic archers, very sorry. I also put all the details there because they're big pals of ours. Now, if you can't get your head around Zoom, do not worry. What you can do is watch it on YouTube. And this time I will remember to press the go live button on YouTube because I didn't for some 22 minutes. And there were like 20 odd people there waiting, tapping their fingers and whatever. So really sorry about that. And actually what I did promise I would do, because I do have the Zoom recording of the whole mm-hmm. of the Lexi show, is I will put up the first, I will put up the missing 23 minutes or so. So if you were one of those, and I did give a big shout out to everybody that was on the YouTubes, you will get those, the missing moments and stuff. So I repeat, this week it's Roy Tucker. Next week it's Kirsty Miller. The week after that we have David Archer himself, the big cheese, the head honcho of the whole kit and caboodle will be coming on. Now, and I reckon, folks, that could well be an opportune time for us to sign off from doing the Dumby Dumda Zooms, because I think everything's easing up at a pace now. So you've got 3 more weeks of this, and then you need to become a Patreon to get some extra Zoom action. So, Peter, if you really are a fan of Roy Tucker, I'll be seeing you on Zoom on Friday.
I'll just tune in for the awkwardness and nothing else.
Smashing.
And you need to give credit to the actor. It's more difficult to paint in shades of grey.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Last call of the show before we do the socials. And my, oh my, do we have a lot of emails and text messages to go through. But I know that R. Kerry has edited them. She's not going to read everything out word for word, is she? Are you?
Oh.
Anyway, while she basically starts editing, here's a bit of Witherspoon.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, everyone in Dumpty Dum Towers, and to all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. I wanted to start off by sharing something I tweeted this week. If two Dumpty Dum hosts can have a conversation and make it sound like they're in the same room, why can't the Archers production team make it happen as well? With that complaint off my chest, I'll say that I did enjoy this week more, maybe just getting used to the monologues. We seem to be going around the village, visiting with different families each week and diving a bit deeper into the psyches of different Ambridge residents. There's only a little bit of forward action, which does reflect how life has been in real life. We've all been kind of frozen in time. So what did happen this week in Ambridge? Johnny and Tony gave themselves buzz cuts. Good for Johnny. He has joined the millions of men who have shaved their heads and will no longer obsess about his receding hairline. Helen had an emotional epiphany, which was years in the making, and Tom seemed as dim-witted as ever about interpersonal relationships. I was most intrigued by Natasha. She revealed that her father has bipolar disorder, though I did figure that out early in her description of him. Having an unstable bipolar parent can be very traumatizing to a child growing up, and helps to explain her drive to fix things and to overachieve. At the same time, we see hints of mania in her, such as her overspending. She could have just a teaspoon of genetic loading of bipolarity in her, which would lead to a milder form called bipolar 2 disorder, not uncommon in very successful business people, or this could be a foreshadowing of full-blown mania to come. We shall see, and talk to you soon.
Tatty bye, Mr. Spoon. Did we just about earlier on in the show go through all of his main points? There was the recording thing. We talked about Natasha. Have we missed anything else, Kerry?
I don't think we have. But there was a tweet. I know I'm going to do tweets later, but there was a tweet that I took a screenshot of, which mentions about Natasha's father having bipolar. And it's by Ambridge Pony Club.
Mm-hmm.
who Jen J. Stephen on Twitter, and she said, hang on, if Tom knows Natasha's dad has bipolar and he hasn't put two and two together on Natasha's spending / sudden business pivots, he's about as intuitive as a sock. So that kind of chimes with what Witherspoon was saying.
True.
There may well be some in there.
True, that some genetic loading. The phrase that he used. Right. We need to go through these text messages and emails. And I'm going to start off because we just had one all of 7 minutes ago. So whilst we're recording, and it says, "Hope not too late for this week's show. You just about caught it. Just caught up with last Friday's Zoom on the YouTubes. Just wanted to say how fabulous Anya was. What a great example of someone being very comfortable in their own skin. I now have a mega girl crush on her. Yay for Anya. Hope she returns to the post-COVID Archers soon. Thanks for the podcast and big up to Kerry. You're doing brilliantly." And that's from Lisa DeBrule, a.k.a. Lollipop Rosie. So some big ups to you.
Lovely. Oh, that's nice. Cheers.
Over to you now. Don't pause. Let's keep it going.
We do have loads, though, don't we? Now you've said I have to edit them and I'm scared.
well, maybe if it's particularly long, just give us the first paragraph.
Okay, so this is an email and it says, "Hi, Royfield and all at Dumpty Dum. Just a quick email to say that I'm just listening to the second Archer's Monologue Week and I really like it. It seems I'm in the minority, but I love hearing what's going on inside the characters' heads and especially enjoyed the intimacy of David and Josh's father-son interaction and them untimely voicing their love for each other. Very touching. I tend to like one-to-one conversations that go a bit deeper than the usual banter, so this line of approach probably suits me. Don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of the traditional Archers too, but I'm really okay with this format in the meantime. Well done, I say, to everyone in Archers land for giving continuity in listening in the best way they can." And that was from Julie Harvey.
Thank you, Julie. How many of these things did we actually get this week? These things sounded so bad. I didn't mean it in that way. How many wonderful electronic messages did we get from our listeners this week? Oh, crumbs.
We have got...
Can you shuffle your papers? Because I know you print them all out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
What? All right. Okay. Severe editing. All right. First paragraphs. Let's go if they're particularly long.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is a long one. This is from... Oh, no. Who's this from? Oh, it doesn't actually say who this one's from. It's one of those where it's just the... It's a text number. "Hi, Royfield, Kerry, Yokel, Bear, Millie Bell and all Dumpty Dummers out there. I'm Sian from Wales, silly Kerry. First time texter innera. I work for a local authority in HR. I remember the Ambridge floods that makes me a Rex and Toby Fairbrother. Could be worse. Just wanted to say that after a very rocky start, I actually enjoyed the Archers this week. Tom still annoys the shit out of me, so unaware of what is going on around him. We got to understand No Kasha a bit better, and I actually felt a little bit sorry for her. If Helen can maintain her positivity, I may well start to like, but I'm not holding out much hope. And there is the lovely Johnny. I could listen to him talk all day, so glad he's feeling positive about his hair, and this was a good way to deal with the storyline." So that was Sian.
Thank you for that, Sian.
Yeah, this one is formalities first. Silver Girl, Henry Archer, Charity Project Manager, Tabard included. That's her introduction. "As someone working in mental health, I'm rapidly warming to the new inner thought styles of the episodes. Natasha was a particular revelation. I've always disliked her nature, which can come across as cold, impatient, and needing to be in control. It was so touching to hear about her difficulties growing up with and still relating to a parent living with mental health issues. Her open and vulnerable reflection that this contributes to her tendency to need to fix things and stay completely on top of everything to make it all okay chimed perfectly with me, having come from a similar situation. I realise now perhaps my dislike for her is actually a bit of projection on my part. I dislike that controlling, fixing part of myself who always struggles to let people in and admit things may not be okay. I totally get why she finds it difficult to explain to Tom what's going on for her right now. She can't ask for what she needs because she's never learned how to. Her focus has always been on behaving in a way that ensures that her dad and mum are okay. I'm now very much on Team Natasha thanks to the way this episode was recorded, so I have great hope that much good can perhaps come of these new style episodes. That was Silver Girl.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't want to edit that one.
And you didn't?
No, I didn't. it was interesting, wasn't it? This was our blind listener who got the picture round question in the quiz on the Zoom last time. This is Lillian McCarthy.
She says,
"Hi, Roger." Is she?
Yeah. She always DMs me on Facebook. She's my pal.
Nice one. She says, "Hi, Royfield. Sorry I didn't manage to log on to Zoom last night. I had some medical treatment. It made me a bit tired. I did catch up on YouTube today, and thanks to your excellent description, I got Waterly Cross in the quiz."
Boom.
Yes. Okay, there's another text here from Purple Pumpkin. Hi, Royfield and co-host, maybe the lovely Kerry Warbis. Ha ha ha, I'm not editing that out. Trying out this newfangled way of contacting you as it seems about right for the length of message I want to send. I think the monologue episodes are meh and only a few manage to hold my attention. Susan, Emma and Helen so far. Come on, men of Ambridge, buck up. And can I say how odd it feels to have no mention of anti-racism or Black Lives Matter in Ambridge when it's so dominating any non-COVID conversations in real life? Thanks again for all that you do for us socially isolated fans. Your little listener, Purple Pumpkin.
Just as a little response to that in particular, yeah. I did kind of jokingly say on Zoom, Are there any statues in Ambridge that need like pulling down?
I do have quite a good plot line that was a tie altogether. Maybe Vince Casey could buy the Colston statue from the Mayor of Bristol and attach it to the sponsorship of his cricket team or something. I mean, have that planted in the middle of the green. Don't take away a statue, bring one in.
But Vince Casey's the guy to do it.
He's very much the guy to do it, yeah.
Oh, right. So, yes, we have another email. This is from Jennifer Corley. She says, "Greetings, Royfield, Kerry, all at Dumpty Dum Towers and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. Just realised how much I've enjoyed this week on the Archers, which is strange, as it's all been about Helen and cheese. However, what's dawned on me is I hate Helen, but I really enjoy hating Helen. The world's gone mad. It's a global pandemic. And what's Helen stressing about? Her new love's safety as he bravely treats the COVID victims of Borsetshire? Her children's safety? Her elderly parents? No, it's all about the cheese. She gets so needy, she drags poor key worker Lee, who's obviously knackered down to the am, showers her with gifts, and he gets nada. It's exactly as we all would have predicted. Helen and Tom float being important. Johnny and Tony are run off their feet. And Pat is left with the treat of homeschooling Henry and stopping him from shoving Jack in a reed bed or worse. It was a marvellous feeling of the world being just as I would expect again." So this is, "Hi, Royfield, esteemed co-host and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Jenny from Southampton. Last week, Royfield commented that it was presumptuous of me to call the co-host esteemed. I shall, however, continue to do so. Co-host, you earn my esteem just for being brave enough to follow Lucy's shining example. What a legend she is. Royfield, your tribute to her last week was so touching, and I'd just like to add my thanks and good wishes to her as well. I haven't been listening that long, but long enough to know that you were an awesome co-host, Lucy. Thank you." So that was lovely. That was from, Jenny from Southampton.
Thank you, Jenny.
And... okay, this is from Quentin Rayner, another email. "As Archers addicts, we're forced to be dependent on the methadone of monologues, but we're craving the fix of genuine dialogues. So how about this suggestion? Charles Collingwood, who plays Brian, is married in real life to Judy Bennett, who infuriates many a tweet-alonger evangelising as Shula. Since they're actually living together, how about them recording scenes together? This begs a few other questions. One, what could Brian and Shula be talking about? Two, are there any other cast members living together who could do the same? Three, when is Charles going to be a guest on Dumpty Dum? That's from Quentin Rayner, big Brian fan, but not as big a fan of Brian as Kerry.
When is Charles going to come back on? I'll send him an email and let's see if we can't sort that out.
Sure. I think I've done them all now, Royfield.
Oh,
you'll be smashing. Glad to know.
Right. Ooh. Yeah. Well, folks, it's that point where we pay some bills around here. I'm going to, on Acast, what I do, I insert a little line which says insert ad. So that's what I'm doing right here and now.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hello from Philippa at the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Now more than ever, people are often turning to a book to provide them with a great escape, and I usually get asked, which book should I read next? There are so many to choose from. Well, help is at hand. The QuickBook Reviews podcast does what it says on the tin. It gives you some quick book reviews. You can tell how long it took me to come up with that market-leading title. Well done, me. And it covers all sorts of different books you might be interested in. And, hopefully, a happy half hour with me chatting about life, cups of tea, biscuits and books. Lots of books. From crime to thriller to general fiction, audiobooks, even children's books. If I think it's good, I'll want to tell you about it. And if I'm not such a fan, I'll tell you that too. It's not about literature or fine arts. It's just about finding a good read that makes you want to keep turning the pages. Finding books that deliver a great ending. Fancy a listen? Download the QuickBook Reviews podcast and see what you think.
Good day, everyone. Well, we started the week talking about Helen because she was talking about how COVID-19 is affecting her small family business. And I just wondered how people thought that the monologues were hitting their mark. And Paula Formby said, Tom's segment was the first that didn't offer a bit of insight into what makes the character tick. but that is wholly in keeping with Tom, as someone nearly incapable of introspection, just grabbing, grumbling, self-promoting, and blaming others at every turn. Cassie Grant said, I'm enjoying them, but Jackie Fear is not enjoying them. And Elizabeth Emerson said, better than nothing, but not much. Jean Bell, on the other hand, said, they are doing what I hoped for, allowing us to get to know them better and judge their characters by their private thoughts. The latest episodes show us how life in these unusual days with clever writing and good acting is. Joanna Geary said, I am enjoying them up to a point, but Kerry's explanation in the Zoom meeting about how the move back to normal could take months rather than weeks made me think surely they'll have to start moving the plots forward at some point. Inner monologues are interesting, but not for 3 months. I do appreciate how difficult it is, though, and I'm glad that it's not my problem to solve. Well, yep, that is really very thoughtful of you. We then talked about the episode that had Natasha in. Now, I'm going to be honest, and I just thought she was whiny and self-centered. So that was my opinion. And I actually did think it's such a shame she couldn't seem more likeable, because she hasn't seemed likeable really to me much up till now. And I thought this was an opportunity. However, Johnny just seems so sensible and even I thought a little bit brave. So I wondered who we'd like to hear more from. But to start with, Vanessa Collier said, I actually felt for her when she was talking about her parents. She's stuck with the Archer clan who always put up barriers and she can't see her own people. I wonder if Johnny is still in contact with Sharon, or has she been conveniently airbrushed out of history? Gosh, that's a really good question, Vanessa. Abby Sue said, a bit whiny, but wouldn't have it any other way than to reflect how people are reacting across the country. Businesses going down the pan, opportunities grabbed, the descent into sloth, the urge to help others, or grow potatoes, missing family, and needing a, I don't know what CWTCH means. I think that must be Welsh, sorry. Nolan Griffin said, I was thinking maybe they were portraying Natasha's developing depression, perhaps feeling she usually keeps at bay by keeping really busy, but now she has time on her hands, being alone a lot and doing work that does not play to her strengths. And Carolyn Cooper said, oh, poor Johnny, I'm heartbroken. Also, not to the scriptwriters for clever writing. Casual mention in previous episode about Tony's mad hair turned out to be a plot point. Well, we do know that the scriptwriters are very clever, so we weren't too surprised, but we don't always pick up the plot points and the little flags, do we? I did wonder whether people were learning about their hidden strengths in lockdown and asked people to share. And Kate Nichols said, keep trying to find a positive even in the smallest things, e.g. didn't have to queue at supermarket in the rain. Rob Williams said, am I the only one who's quite enjoying it? Rob, you're not. We're no longer in lockdown. Well, I'm not as a teacher because we are now essential workers, but the 5 weeks that we were in lockdown, I loved it. Jane Gage said, patience and fortitude with a smashing of good home baking. Jane Gage, that's how I got through, and now I have COVID chub, which I'm now trying to get rid of. And Alexandra Goddard said, wish I could add something inspiring, but I've been going to work every single day. Oh, I do feel for you, especially as I enjoyed lockdown very, very much. Having said that, there's a few of us at our house, and it's nice to be locked down with people that you really enjoy. So if you're on your own, that could be very, very different. And I know my colleagues who live on their own did have a very different experience. And then we talked about, oh, Tony's haircut. I thought that storyline was so stupid. It's just a haircut. Hair grows. Who cares? Who cares? It's just hair. But I did love that it gave Johnny the courage. And I wondered, was I being a bit too harsh about the storyline? And Anne Crosstuck said, no need to have that 2 inch of roots showing. A box of L'Oreal dye comes in handy. Another handy thing is a YouTube video for a do-it-yourself lob cut. Make the husband watch it, give him a pair of scissors and a comb, and voila. I should really post a photo, Anne. You really should. Jita Bapat said, I have loved this week so far. Superb insights into everyone's mindset. I found Tony tedious, but then I always do. Really enjoying this format and finding myself listening more carefully. Oh, that's a really good point. I think I am listening more carefully, Jude. I can't just float in and out. John Beasley said, normally I would have agreed with you, but unkempt hair is one of privations which has taken on an unusual significance because of lockdown. Tony reflected the concerns of some of the people I know, and I couldn't help but smile as he wrestled with this predicament. And this is why I have to put these questions out to the WISE group, because sometimes I get irritated about things, and then when others, like a good self, John, explain them to me, I think, yep, I was being unfair. And Sean Coleman said, totally agreed, is a ridiculous reaction and typical of Pat. Yeah, I think it was the reaction of Pat that really upset me. I just thought that was so unsupportive. So glad for Johnny, too, thought it was a good way to deal with his current storyline. So another good, if short, week for all of us. So thank you, everyone, for getting involved. We did, of course, acknowledge International Gin Day, and we've posted up some photos of gin, which is very important. I prefer drinking them, but hey, pictures will do. So that was our week, and I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly hope you got involved. Please get involved next week when Yokel Bear is in charge, and until I speak to you again in a fortnight, I say to you, hooroo!
Millie Bell, as always, tip-top Bristol fashion. We thank you. We salute you. We doff our caps. With that social media roundup, Kerry, it must be time for some tweets of the last 7 days.
Yes, let me find them.
It's nice to know that you are primed. Okay, go for it, Miss Warbis.
So this is from A Bit Buddish, who's I'm Buddish on the Twitters. And he says, and now with the time at 8:50 in our Ambridge studio is Helen Archer with Fraught for the Day.
Hey, very good. Yeah, very good.
Do you see? This one's from Rob Titchener on the Twitters. So he says, Helen, this is Helen speaking. I run an artisan cheese making business. As you can imagine, we've been under a lot of Cheshire lately. Despite being in a pickle and we're all going crackers, we're still making cheese here. When's Lee Dale available to visit us?
Wow.
Yeah, that was heavy punning there. This next one was from Paul Salotti. Perhaps Bridge Farm's next fundraiser could be a sponsored silence.
Well done.
That wasn't the tweet of the week. It's coming up. This one I loved from Matthew Weir, who called in the other week. He says, for all of you romanticising a video call soiree with your parents, I video called my mum on her birthday yesterday and she answered, sat on the toilet. So that's rather lovely. But this is Tweet of the Week. Yes, this is from Andrew Davidson, Tweet of the Week. He says, I liked Cold Store Alarm, but they never got over that difficult second album.
Hey, wait a minute.
Do you know what that's referring to, Rob?
No.
Were you listening closely enough?
Give it to me one more time.
It's Natasha. With her Cold Store Alarm.
There you go. You didn't get it as either at the first time as well, though, did you, Peter? It's not just me being dumb.
No. We're both dumb.
Oh, crumbs.
Sorry. We're both dumb.
It's the tweet of the week / test as to whether you were listening or not.
True.
I was listening.
Right, folks, this was a little bit of an experiment to have three people giving you a bit of dum-de-dum. So give us a little bit of feedback by going on to dumdedum.com/contact, and you can tell us what you thought and whether you want Peter Fickling to be back. I don't know. My jury's still out myself. You know, I've only known him for 3 years and I still haven't quite made my mind up. So why don't you help me make my mind up by going on to dumdedum.com and doing a whole load of things. You can comment on some of the old shows. I tell you what you can do. You can look through Mike Hatton's wonderful list of character counts and write you ours. And I don't know why Mike is just so reticent about coming on the show, because I want him to come on and to explain to us the reason why he's so fascinated with cataloguing the archers in the way that he does. So, Mike, there's your call, sir. It's not the first and not the second time. Come on. You know, you contribute so much to the show and to the whole community of Dum-de-dum. We need to hear you on mic, sir. But that's what you can do on gumdrum.com. You can also go on to the shop and hit the shop button, which is conveniently labeled as shop, and you can actually buy some stuff. Be careful, though, because I think seasoned Dum-de-dummers will actually know that Kerry, I, and Peter aren't sat bagging this stuff up. It actually comes from third-party suppliers. Just make sure that they are delivering in the COVID. So I think most companies are now starting to deliver again. So go on to dumdedum.com and go make a purchase. Get yourself a mug, a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, pair of leggings, jeggings even, whatevs, that come resplendent with the logo, Dum-de-dum, and you'll be helping to put some money in our coffers. Now, a great way of helping to support the podcast is when going on to Patreon. And if you are a Patreon person, we really, really, really like you. Not that we don't like other people too. We just like them a little bit more. That's all it is. Patreon is a great way to support the podcast by giving us $2 per episode. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're at Royfield. You're pumping out 2 episodes a show at the moment. We cap it. Don't worry. 2 episodes a week would end up meaning that you could be spending like $16 per month on Dum-de-dum. Oh, no, sorry, Bob. I cap it. So you only pay for the regular Dum-de-dums, and then I throw in one of the Zooms. So you get all that stuff free. Now, thing is, though, the Zooms are such a rich experience that what I am going to do is after the COVIDs, after the coronas have gone, first wave, second wave, and we're all back to normal, we're going to put them behind a paywall, and we're going to reward the people that financially support the show by giving them the front row seat on the Zoom call. So if you like the Zoom stuff and you always want to be in that Zoom gang, I suggest you go on to patreon.com. Another way to support the podcast is by going on to Apple iTunes or a podcatcher of your choice and writing us a review, telling us what you think of our Kerry. She's awesome. What you think about me. But also what you think about the Archers. You know, go on there and say, I love the Archers. Dum-de-dum's all right. Give us 5 stars. That would be smashing awesome, because it helps us to get new listeners to the show, because we go up those iTunes charts. And because of your reviews, we once got to number 3 in the iTunes charts. Can you believe that, Kerry? Number 3, I tell you.
I can. Sorry, I'm eating a cherry.
I know, you're not paying attention at all. You're just like, this man's just like going for it. But anyway, now I'm going to turn the mic over to you. And I don't know if it's in red or in black, but I feel that now is your time to chip in.
Yes, remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. Or you can text your message to us by starting your message with DUM to 077-862-00690. You can find Yokel Bear at Dumpty Dum, Kerry Warbis, that's me, at Kerry Warbis, and Royfield can be found at Royfield on the Twitters.
And Lucy V. Freeman can be found at Lucy V. Freeman. I believe you're also on the Twitters, aren't you there, Peter?
Pardon?
Yeah, that's just about right. Peter, are you on Twitter? And if you are, what is your Twitter handle? If people want to tweet at you, sir.
Pete Fickling. At Pete Fickling.
Oh, nice and simple. All right. Don't forget, folks, Facebook, it's like a real vital part of the whole Dum-de-dum experience. So if you like Facebook, go onto Facebook and join our Dum-de-dum group on Facebook. It also gives you the password and all the credentials so you can join our Zoom chats. And apart from that, you get Witherspoon with his Saturday non-Archers posts, his snaps. You get Millie Bell, and you get the Yokel Bear too. And the other thing about being part of Facebook, if you say something witty, insightful, or just like blooming clever, you probably make social media roundup. So there you go. There's inducement enough for you. Get onto Facebook. Do. Don't forget, there is the Flick app. big up to the Flickr posse. They are my people. So what you do there, you look in the show notes of this episode. There is a link if you've got a smartphone. And of course, everyone's got a smartphone these days. You hit that link and then you download the app and then you're all dum-de-dummed up. And you can talk about dum-de-dum stuff with the proper inside posse. There's Drew from Hamilton. There's Melly over there in Scotland. There's a whole load of rather savoury characters that hang out on the Flick app. And I think that's just about it. That's me, tired, spent, exhausted from a rather long recording, which has had Peter sounding like a Dalek. I'm going to have to do numerous edits to put it together to make it sound effortless. But you know what? You're worth it, listener. So I'm going to endeavour to do that for you. So, Peter Fickling, will you be on again?
Thank you.
Well, you don't know. You're still thinking about it, whether you'll come back on again. And I don't mind you. I don't blame you for thinking, sir. Don't sign away your life just yet. Kerry Warbis, will you be on again soon?
Yes, please, Royfield. I would like to come back. I would like Peter to come back too.
Well, you never know. Your wish may well come true. That's us saying goodbye, tatty bye, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, saying sayonara, and ciao. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.